let the pod in the song when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to all things elite from the fan perspective, swear man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first, swear man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social suplex, network zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rent, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 277th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz. I'm the host of this lovely show. And joining with me in person, things may sound a little bit different because we are in the same room, in the same city, is my buddy Floyd Johnson Jr., my man. I mean, I know how you're doing. We were just over at the Masonic just a moment ago. So,
dude, that's probably one of the just pure venues I've ever watched wrestling at.
I know.
I had a great time in the music venue. You're going to hear me use words I don't use very often, like acoustics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was amazing. It sounded like there was about 2,000, 2,500 people in there. And they sounded just as loud as that I've been in with rooms of 10,000. I hope it came across on the show. This was two amazing wrestling shows. I mean, again, I know shows get the live bump, but I think they were good on TV too. Mm-hmm. If you go by the messages that we got. So it was a very good time here in Detroit. And as I was saying to Detroit, y'all need better PR. Y'all need better marketing. Y'all got to get out there and let everybody know Detroit is not the Detroit that has been shown on 8 Mile and the Detroit that you heard from on like criminal shows. Like, I thought I was going to die in Detroit. I had an amazing time. I literally saw white women jogging down the street, so I knew it was safe. It's been a great time. And just little heads up, this is just a straight Dynamite and Collision review. Yep. I didn't really have time to get into the notes. There was some information from Will Ospreay to drop this week. And then Javon Elvins and Ricochet's Twitter battle. We're going to break those down next week. They might be a little old, but you'll get a little different thoughts on it from it.
Yeah.
So, no, but I had a great time. And I mean, I've been talking to my friends about how I transitioned in my wrestling fund. And it was just like, yes, those shows were great. But hanging with you, Sydney, seeing John, seeing Michelle, I saw Michael. I met a new fan. Her name was Heather. And she has been to more shows than me. She's been to 84 to my 60. Now, tonight would have been 85 for her.
Yeah.
So 85 to my 69. And I was just like, I was clapping for her because, man, it takes a lot to be able to pull that off. And she seemed singularly focused on going to everything. And I just thought she was one of the coolest people. Mm-hmm. I was talking to her a little hard. And I think I annoyed her. So I went up at the beginning of the show and said something. And I was like, okay. I saw the glaze.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to leave her alone.
Yeah, no, man. We are so glad that we finally got you to this city, man. Cause like, we've been trying to make this happen for God knows how long, I feel like. And the fact that we finally got you in Detroit, we made this shit happen. And bro, I mean, I feel like you got to see so many great parts of the city. And again, too, like, if you guys could see it on the shows for Dynamite and Collision, Masonic Temple was not the venue I thought we were going to get for Detroit when they did another show. I thought we were just going to get LCA again, Little Caesars Arena, which is not even like a few blocks away from Masonic. But I was like, okay, I don't know. I've tried looking it up. I don't think Masonic Temple has ever hosted wrestling before.
So John Schwab said they've hosted, like, it was called Lucha Doom and like a few indie shows, but it wasn't in the room that we were in.
Yeah, it was in that venue. Yeah.
Yeah, that room was, that was the first time that room had held wrestling.
Right.
There's no way I'm not running that room at least twice a year.
Exactly. Well, and TK after the show said that he'd love to do the TV at this, at Masonic again. And dude, like when I tell you, man, just from seeing the clips of it from TV, it just looked like such a cool venue. And this is coming off of the news of them announcing that they were doing the ECW arena too in Philly.
Yeah.
And just like we've talked about these unique venues for AEW. And Masonic, I feel like, absolutely represented. Crowd was absolutely phenomenal, dude, both nights.
Dude, if you get a chance, watch the ROH shows that were recorded. Because even the ROH crowds were lit. Bandido, you would have thought he was the biggest star in the world.
His, yeah, he got a huge ovation in his match.
And then they were, we were a little conflicted because everybody wanted to cheer for Roosh, but it, you know, he was playing the bad guy. So I was like, but it was like, Roosh, get the bull, get the horns. And I was like, yeah, you could tell there is a very much a respect for Lucha in that building. And like I said, it was one of the, I would probably say, that was probably a top five Dynamite live experience for me because, you know, just because I just, the energy of the crowd, the matches, what we got, it was just like, the crowd was pretty much twice as good as the card.
Yeah.
Even though the card was good.
Yeah. And then, again, Detroit's always shown out for the previous two Dynamites that it's gotten. I mean, we were, me and Sydney were there for those shows. And this crowd showed out for those. But then you just combine that with an even cooler venue. I love LCA, but Masonic hosting wrestling was something I never thought we would get in that specific theater. And it was nuts. So we're going to get into Dynamite and Collision. We just got back from Collision, literally as we're recording this in the hotel, and we're going to cover all of that. Before we get into everything, guys, we want to make sure you guys are supporting this fine show, whether you're downloading us on Spotify, Apple Music, or YouTube Music, or wherever you're getting us, Google Podcasts. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Follow us on Twitter at ATElitePod. You can also follow Floyd at Floyd Johnson Jr. and myself at Austin Sumwitz. And then be sure to give our boys Social Suplex some love. They're at Social Suplex on social media. They got a bunch of great shows you guys got to check out for sure. And like I said, we're going to not even really focus too much on news. The big news of the week is that your boys are in the same building. You're in the same city. That's the big news of the week, is that we linked up for this shit.
Shout out to One Nation Radio being represented in Detroit. I was not able to get close enough to the person to get a pick because I wanted a pick real bad. But shout out to One Nation Radio, Rich and James. You're well represented in Detroit.
Yeah.
So that is pretty. I thought that was pretty cool seeing that in person. I don't know. It was just, it was such a good time. Such a good vibe. It was just a great vibe at that arena. And again, these aren't words that I use often, but I don't have any other words to describe where it's just that energy. It was just like, as soon as you walked into the arena, like even the people standing outside, it was just like everybody was ready to get in and cheer. So that was fun. I got to go old school FTR again.
Oh,
yeah, I was the only one cheering. It was just such a good time. You will not have to try hard to get me to come back to Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Well, and again, if TK, I'm going to hold him to this because after the show was off the air.
He reiterated that he guaranteed.
I'm holding this man to it. You say the word guarantee for a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I'm holding you to it. Detroit deserves it. And again, LCA would be a brilliant venue for a pay-per-view. Hell, if you want to get ballsy and try to do Ford Field or Comerica Park, I don't care. Just bring us a pay-per-view in Detroit, man, because I'm telling you, we know how good this crowd is when it comes to I know the States crowds have been getting dogged down on compared to European or international crowds, but dude, my city showed out, and I'm so happy for it.
Dude, and that's the whole thing. It's just like the right American cities can compare.
Mm-hmm.
Europe, the only reason I think the UK is because of the soccer chants.
Yes,
because they're going to chant the whole show, whether
you're seeing them transition over with like wrestling, and like those soccer type chants are starting to happen more in the States.
There was just the energy, and they were playing along, they were going for the good guys, moving the bad guys, and that people don't understand what kind of vibe that brings, when, because your audience is your audience. They have the rhythm chant, but when it's correctly
and it's adding to the
show. Yeah, when it's going through what you want to do, it's such a different vibe. And it's like, I mean, I know I cheer for FTR no matter what. Don't get me wrong. I'm never going to tell you, well, you should cheer the good guys and the bad guys. But when it happens to happen that way, when people are falling in line.
There were not many people like you last night.
Yes, that enhanced the show. And I wasn't like that last night. No, you know, I saved that for a special occasion, but it really did enhance the show. Everybody seemed more over. Mm-hmm. Every heel seemed like a bigger heel, including my guy Ricochet, who invented Bouncy. I just want to throw that out there. He was Bouncy when the other guy was still in his dad's nutsack. So we'll just move on.
We'll move on from that. We'll get right into the Dynamite review, which opened up with a banger of a promo, first of all, banger of a segment. Hangman Adam Page comes out and talks to the crowd, basically, you know, still a little bit shocked and taken aback about the fact that the crowd still supports him and still chants cowboy shit after all of these years of him being this vindictive, angry, dark version of himself after everything he did to Swerve, after he literally said in the promo, he tried to kill a man. And I heard a little bit of cheers. I'm like, okay, let's not cheer that. You know, murders. Yeah, listen. We accept the fact that you're looking inward, but, like, you know, we don't need to give this man any props for doing that. But he still said, you know what? He thought that everything he did to him, everything he did to Swerve would give him some closure and make that, like, darkness in his heart go away. Didn't do it. And he just decided, you know what? After that, he tried to take it, bottle it up, and use it against anybody who came across him and looked at him wrong or came and got in his way. And it just tore everything away from everything he had. So he decided to make a decision. He said he's never going to forget what Swerve did to him, but he will move past it. And they said when he decided to make that decision, he said he was going to enter the Owen. He worked his way through, made it to the final, and now he's going up against the guy that everyone says is the best wrestler in the world, Will Ospreay. Cue the music. Here comes Will Ospreay. Mega ovation.
On his birthday,
got a happy birthday chant from the crowd. And he said, sorry for interrupting this little therapy session, but, you know, these guys have never met in the ring before, shockingly enough. So he said, pleasure to meet the Hangman. He talked about how he knows how much this means to him, because one of his favorite moments in AEW's history was when that Hangman brought out the Dark Order and taught them what it meant to be a cowboy and what cowboy shit really meant. And that's when he won the AEW World Championship, and he said it was perfect. But everything fell apart when he lost it, though. And he said, you know what? I saw something when you beat Kyle Fletcher that I hadn't seen in a long time. I saw that smile return. And as much as everyone wants to see Hangman go to All In and reclaim being the main character, he's got a problem with that because he's not losing when it comes to Double or Nothing. He turned up and immediately started saying how all these people you destroyed, including one of my friends, Swerve Strickland, and you took a backseat to everything. I started doing the meet and greets. I started doing the media. I started taking the pictures with the kids where you didn't do that anymore. So he shows up and he is the best of the best. He shows why AEW is where the best wrestles, and you just haven't been doing that cowboy shit that you said so. So this isn't about Hangman's redemption. It's about Ospreay's ascension. And then comes the Don Callis family. And I'm going to ask you, could you hear a goddamn word that Don Callis said?
Dude, that dude was getting booed so hard that, yeah, I made out every other word and I got the gist of the storyline. But if you had asked me 5 minutes, like, say every word that Don Callis said, I didn't hear half of them. So I would say that wasn't fair. And I feel like this whole segment, including Don Callis going out, was great storytelling, great wrestling and everything, great professional wrestling. But this wasn't their saying this. But the extra from it was a big fuck you to anyone that says AEW doesn't tell stories.
Yeah.
They have been telling a story with Hangman since the day he lost his title in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
They have been telling the story. Him not doing meet and greets. You know what? You think about all the wrestlers that showing up to cons and stuff. Guess who wasn't?
Wasn't it?
Hey, it wasn't Hangman. This has all been part of the story. I'm not saying this has been laid out from the beginning, because that's what people do. It's like, if the story was laid out from the beginning, they're like, oh, this is genius. Well, if you see certain things happening and you make a story out of it, and you say, okay, this fits into the story we're telling, I think that's just as much genius as working it out from the beginning. Sometimes things just fall the right way. And this Hangman thing has fell perfectly to the point where I don't think it's happening, but I really, really want him to be Will Ospreay and then go on All In. And it's just like, it just seems like if you're trying to put that bow on an All In, Hangman versus Moxley in a Texas death match for the AEW world title.
At this point, man.
Seems like the perfect bow on this Hangman story. And, you know, Hangman, again, quote unquote, the main character. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've done a lot. So, yeah. But getting back to what you said, Callis was booed out the fucking building. There has been no more intimidating heel faction than the Dallas Don Callis family.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, when you look at the roster, like, and I'm even talking about Murder Hawk Monster. And I'm talking about Rocky and Trent, who is like 7-time IWGP Junior Tag Team Champions or some stupid shit like that. Like, everybody in that group can go. Like, everybody can grow without cheating, you know, and necessarily they're all great wrestlers. So it's one of the best collections of pure talent in wrestling. But on the other side is Will Ospreay and Hangman. And Hangman didn't, I mean, Will Ospreay and Hangman didn't seem that happy with Will Ospreay.
There was a fist that at least at one guy's chin at all times. They were holding the fist up and they were looking like they were about to scrap. And Don was pointing out, like, you guys can't even stand in the ring together for more than 5 minutes without wanting to kill each other. And you know what? What's going to happen is this is what's going to happen. He said, next week at Beach Break, I'll be happy to send two of my family members down to the ring to face you two, assuming Hangman doesn't have another breakdown first. So another thing that was set up for Beach Break, which they were stacking up a ton during the show, which we were expecting. You know, this was a go-home show. Yeah. We knew a lot of stuff was going to be set up for Chicago. But again,
I was secretly hoping that match was going to be announced as the main event of the show, even though it wasn't. I set myself up for failure. But yeah, I was really excited about that. But I think Will Ospreay had to do, like, again, anyone that says this man can't work the mic, anybody full of shit, had the one of the lines of the year. This is not about your redemption. This is about my ascension. Bars. I wish it. I know they had to do Galileo stuff, but I wish it could have stopped after that.
Yeah,
he could just drop the mic and left the ring. Hangman, so soon, because it was such a fire line.
Everything
that happened after that, I felt like could have maybe happened in a backstage segment.
If this was something that was like literally right before, right before Double or Nothing, it would be like fire. Ooh. But they're still setting up big for this Beach Break, man. They've got so much shit going on in this show that they were still sending all the seeds for that.
Chicago, I'm calling you out. I am calling you out. I've saw 4,000 tickets sold for Beach Break. When I think they had like 500 available seats. If your 4,500 doesn't sound as good as Detroit's 2,500, you will never hear the end front of it from me. I'm not even pro Detroit or pro Chicago. I am pro wrestling fan.
Yeah.
And I'm calling you drop below Detroit if your 4,500 doesn't sound as good as that 2,500. Yeah,
big time. Exactly. No, and I'm right there with you, man. Yeah. It's like Detroit showed out, and now Chicago, you got to figure out.
You got to top it. And I don't want to hear any like boring chants or any, you know, those chants you chant when there's nothing to do. I want you to be just as involved as people from Detroit. Dude, I was just there and I was just in awe of how fired up they were. I was tired.
Yeah.
I was exhausted at Dynamite.
Yeah, dude,
I got, what, 2 hours of sleep in 24 hours before I went to that Dynamite. And I was pretty much like done. That crowd carried me through the show.
Mm-hmm.
2 hours of, like, I went from, there was a segment where I was pretty sure I was going to fall asleep, to up, cheering, yelling, because the fandom got me fired up. They made me feel like a bitch for not getting up and getting involved. And it was like, I felt cool. I was like, man, that was fun. I needed it. It was like, it's funny because I can say I needed the fans because I was exhausted.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I just wanted to sleep in that moment. But yeah, had some people around. Just fired up, and it was great.
Yeah, it was great stuff, man. Amazing opening segment, I will say. And great storytelling. Set the seeds for next week. And again, see two of AEW's best facing off with each other, man. It just seems like, ooh, brother, man. Like, that's some money shit right there.
Absolutely.
And we move right then afterwards to, all of a sudden, by the commentary desk, your boys, FTR, go up, and they have Stokely Hathaway and FTR and Stokely confront Tony Schiavone and go after him, basically being like, do we got a problem? Because we apologized, we made things right, yet you still run us down every single week on the mic. You still talk trash. You called me, you called Stokely a snake in the grass. And look, he was about to call him a piece of shit, but then immediately, that's when they stood up and they tried to get in each other's faces. But then Dax was like, nah, you know what? You know what? We're not even going to bother with you right now. Turned their focus to Daniel Garcia and said, you know what? Here's a simple message. Hey, Nigel McGuinness, we'll see you tomorrow on Collision. And Daniel Garcia, you're going to see one of us in that ring. And they walked off. So
the message is clear. That noodle neck, Nigel McGuinness, that coward that wanted to step up, and he's not really ready to face the consequences. Tony Schiavone, watch your mouth, man. You have been doing this since before my parents thought of having me. So you are a god in my eyes. But in this case, you're like a god. What that means is you can still get dropped on your head.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you might want to watch your mouth, Tony Schiavone. I don't want everybody, little kids crying when you get dropped on your head. Lois needs you still making that money, buddy. Yeah. So watch out. I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, he's got to be careful, man. They be stepping in places they don't want to be.
Yes.
We had a great backstage video package for TNA, or Tits and Ass, with Mrs. Harley Cameron and Anna Jay. Which
it was
tenacity and aggression.
Yes.
Yeah. So those two, oh my God, like what a pairing you got with those two. Like they got some great energy bouncing off each other. I mean, Harley works with everybody. I've said that plenty of times, but I love their little chemistry they got. And I was like in my heart, I was like, please don't just give me Harley on screen in Detroit. I need her in the city. I need her showing out. Because I saw what she did on social media, and we'll touch on it when we get to the match. But I was like, if she needs to be in the building, I need to see her come down that entrance ramp, and I need to see her start some shit. So, but that was a nice little preview into the four-way that we got for the women's Eliminator title match. And yeah, man, that's another match I was heavily looking forward to.
Harley is the performance, or excuse me, the act enhancing drug of AEW.
Oh yeah.
You can literally put her with anyone. If you see someone's not hot, give them a segment with Harley. They're going to be in a better position. And I just, man, I am in awe of her ability to just entertain in so many different scenarios. It is crazy how entertaining she is.
Oh, yeah. And that led right into the four-way eliminator match for the AEW Women's World title for an opportunity at the world title. Champion, Timeless Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa versus Penelope Ford versus Anna Jay. Really solid stuff, I feel like, from everybody. Everyone got some really good stuff. Thunder Rosa especially got a great reaction from the crowd, which I love. She actually got her old theme back, too.
Yes.
So I love Thunder seeing that.
Rosa.
I love seeing that. But incredible match. I felt like everyone got some really good stuff. This show another example of just the improvement of the women's division over time. Just seeing the levels to this type of stuff. everything was going good for the most part. There was a great moment where all four of them were locked up in a submission where, like,
yes,
Penelope Ford was getting sit on, basically. Yeah. Like, she was caught in the middle of it, and she was just caught up in this, like, multi-chain Boston crab and, like, was getting squashed in the center of the whole ordeal.
I don't know if they could have figured it out. So when Anna Jay came in, I thought she was going to put the head scissors.
Yeah.
They were going to flip it over and do the Stephanie McCord, Charlotte,
four-way. Yeah.
But then they went a different way with it, with the Boston Crab. I thought that was really cool. Nice four-way maneuver. I got to give a shout-out to them. I felt like a very fresh take on the four-way, because it wasn't just a lot of two people with the other two people waiting. It looked like most of the time all four people were involved.
Yeah. Well, and then you also had the great pairing off with Thunder Tits, of course, which was getting a great reaction. So those two being able to work off each other and kind of team up a little bit. But then at the same time, of course, it's a four-way, so they can't let each other win. It was a great way of keeping both of them involved, too, as they were going after both Penelope and Anna Jay. As the match went on, though, that's when Megan Bain comes out and looks like she's going to start evening the odds.
Everything perfectly legal, Cole.
Yep, it is legal within a four-way. So she comes out and she starts getting involved, and she looks like she's about to just drop Anna Jay on her head. And that's when Harley Cameron not only shows up in Detroit, but shows up in her custom-made Detroit basketball, Detroit Pistons jersey, because her, Sanjay Dutt, and Swerve Strickland were all at the Pistons practice facility in Detroit.
Did hers just say Harley?
Hers just said Harley on the back, okay. Number zero. Earlier in the night, we had a Ring of Honor taping, too, with Sanjay, with Satnam Singh, Satnam Singh, who had a Pistons jersey that was also custom made with the one in a million on the back.
One in a billion.
One in a billion on the
back. Yes. Yep.
So Harley comes out looking in that Pistons jersey. There's a picture she tweeted out and posted from her in Detroit. That is my favorite picture she's ever taken. There will never be one better than that. It is the best picture she's ever taken. She comes out in the Pistons jersey. I'm losing my shit. She chases off Megan Bain with a pipe and is just running her off. And eventually, as the match goes on and we get to the finish, that's happening, but then Timeless Toni Storm comes in, gets the TCM chicken wing, which is what it's officially called, the Turner Classic Movies chicken wing.
Oh, I
love that. Love that. I saw that was tweeted out. I love that. So she puts that on Penelope Ford, and she remains undefeated, 12-0 in title eliminator matches. So nobody gets a shot at the title, at least out of these bunch, but great performance. Toni Storm with a mega ovation in that match. It was just so much fun.
I heard that Lady Wendy Richter was invited to be in the eliminator. She couldn't be bothered to show up. Toni Storm will get her hands on her one day, but this is a great four-way match. My girl Anna didn't pull it out, but we got some Harley. Yeah, it was great. It was so fun. Toni Storm is on another level right now. Yes. Now, I'm not trying to steal Will Ospreay's line, but she is clearly the most over female in AEW. She might be the most over person in AEW.
I would probably second that, honestly. It's like, if it wasn't for Ospreay, I would probably say yeah.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, she is, like, this character work and the way that it's grown from the start, it's wild to see how we got here and now how big she's gotten with this character. And it's just so much fun to see. And I love how much people play into it and everything like that. So it was just great match. Really good stuff. We move right over then to the Heart Syndicate coming out. And they were talking about how, you know, we haven't defended our titles, our tag team titles, in quite some time. We need some challengers. We need some fresh meat. Top Flight come out. And they want to throw their hat in the ring. They say, you know, we haven't been doing too well. We know we're the underdogs coming into this, but we want to make sure we represent the tag division. We want to do this. We want to do that. Blah, blah, blah. Looks like they're trying to set up this match happening. And then Mr. Maxwell Jacob Friedman comes out in his wife beater and beats the living hell out of him.
Take fist and a wife beater, beat him up.
Yep. He was like, you know what? Mr. Bobby Lashley said, you wanted to see me hurt people? Okay, you're going to see me hurt people. And that's exactly what he did. Rubbing the blood on the wife beater. He's beating the hell out of Darius and Dante. And basically was like, you know what? I hurt people and says it directly to their face. And that's when Bobby says, you're going to get my answer next week.
In Chicago again.
Of course.
Chicago, prove you deserve this.
Yep.
But there was many facets to this segment. First, Crew came out. Then it looked like they were going to say something, but they didn't. Then Top Flight came out, and then they got attacked. And it's this simple. We live in this world, which is amazing, where all the tag teams in AEW actually want to be the tag team champions.
It's crazy.
It is crazy how that works with wrestling. MJF with the sneak attack, got him. He hurt him. That was great. We're hopefully going to finally get an answer next week, or Bobby's going to throw one more stipulation in. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I can say this. I know what's going on with MJF, but as a person that listens to reactions, watches how they won the match, I'll ask you, Austin, how do you consider the Hurt Syndicate heel?
They're not. That's the thing. I don't think they are.
They're not. They're the most over, like, face tag team in the company right now.
They got the bet, their song, and the chant is huge.
No, the chant started before the music got to that part. It was like, we hurt people. And literally, you saw Bobby Lashley like, oh, my God, we're over. And he smiles, and then you have MVP, and Shelton Benjamin manages to stay stoic because he's Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
But they got Bobby Lashley to smile because they were so loud. So, yeah, let's go. Let's go. I don't know where this MJF thing is going.
I feel like it's got to go with Bobby eventually finally giving the thumbs up is where it ends.
Yes.
But how long does MJF actually stay in the Hurt Syndicate until he decides to do his own shit and fuck with everybody? I don't know. But I know that's probably where it's going to end up with, where he's going to just turn on all of them. But I just want to see what the hell the idea of a MJF member, MJF being in the Hurt Syndicate looks like in AEW, because I don't know what that looks like.
I don't know what that looks like either. I am looking forward to seeing it, though, very much. I just thought this segment was done, brilliantly done, because it just established all the people as wanting the titles.
Yep. There was a quick video package of Ricochet and the Young Bucks discussing plans for their trios match. Then the Young Bucks opened a door, saw the Death Riders, and immediately closed the door and was like, nope, we're not dealing with that. And then we transitioned right into Nick Wayne coming out. Great work of Christian's music interrupting his music too. And he immediately comes out. And of course, he was going to be having him put his world TV title on the line against somebody from Christian Cage's past. And we had a feeling, because we heard he was possibly going to be in the building. We heard he was possibly going to be at the show. Detroit's own, the Man Beast, ECW legend, Rhino, comes out to a huge pop, a huge ovation for Rhino. He comes out, he's able to do some fun stuff in the actual match, but it's short-lived. He doesn't get to gore anybody, and Nick Wayne ends up getting the victory thanks to the little help from Christian Cage, and Nick Wayne retains his Ring of Honor TV title. Crowd is pissed. Bullshit chants. And yeah, it was a great little thing right there from Christian Cage and Nick Wayne. And at that moment, it looked like they were still trying to see if Christian Cage was going to give him his belt back, and he held it to him and he drops it at his feet, walks out, still showing the disrespect to Nick Wayne from Christian and being the tough, loving father that he is. But yeah, it was awesome to see Rhino, man. He got such a great pop. Wish he would have been able to do a little bit more, but this was a little bit of a quick little, not a squash necessarily, but more so just like a quick 5-minute match.
Yes, and I do want to give a shout out to all the stupid ass people that still say AEW doesn't tell stories. This is a lower card story that they've basically been telling for like what? A year and a half, 2 years with Nick.
And Christian,
Yeah. And then the mom's there. All I got to say, I got that Hannah
Mother Wayne.
I got that Hannah Waddingham love for Wayne. Kip Sabian doesn't know what side to take. It's just so brilliant because there's 100 different ways this can go.
Oh, sure.
You know, you obviously think Christian's going to turn on Nick, but why would he turn on Nick? He doesn't want the ROH TV title.
No.
You know, Nick could end up leaving him. When is Killswitch coming back? Which side he's going to be on? There's so many different threads to this story. And Nick Wayne's about to head to Japan for the Best Super Juniors. So it's like, there's so much there in the storyline that I'm just like, this is a lower card story.
Right.
And it's got meat to it. And it's just like, you know, oh, it's just matches. It's just matches. Well, you just don't fucking watch the show.
You just don't pay attention.
Shut up.
Yep, all right. That's all it is.
Yeah.
We then move directly into the trios match of the night featuring Mark Briscoe, Speedball Mike Bailey, and Swerve Strickland versus Ricochet and the Fuck Bucks. Holy shit, this match was so much fun. Like, this match had so much shit going on in it. Like, Young Bucks doing what they do. Swerve Strickland finally being able to put a little bit of hurt on the Bucks, going buck hunting. Speedball Mike Bailey is over as fuck.
Again, I love this part where Ricochet's like, I'll take you through this because I beat all of them.
Yep.
And the Young Bucks kept saying, oh, yeah, you got this. And really, yeah. So when heels are heels to other heels, it's amazing to me. I love it. And, yeah, I just, man, Speedball is one of those things, again. I'll be very honest, doesn't do a lot for me, but his live show charisma is all out of the charts. The energy he puts in every match, every strike, all that stuff. Like I said, it really doesn't speak to me, but I don't know how you go to a show and you don't come out and say, man, that guy worked really, really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think there's definitely some room for him character-wise, I think, for him to find his voice a little bit in AEW. But you see him wrestle live, and you're like, this dude's money.
Yeah.
This dude knows what the fuck he's doing. Striking-wise, he's one of the best. And he's just, dude, people are all about him.
Both matches telling – he was in two matches in two nights telling completely different stories. And I felt like by the end of his match, he was – he had that crowd in his hands.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then also Mark Briscoe just continuing to be the most lovable fan favorite of AEW, too. Continues to do – I loved him pairing off with Speedball and them doing their kung fu together was awesome.
Did you know, see, you know, he's tired of this bald discrimination, too. You see, he started letting his hair grow.
Just a little bit.
Just enough not to be called bald. I got it. I see you, Mark. Discrimination. You got bullied. You got peer pressured and letting your hair grow.
Yeah, there was great just moments of everyone flying around doing their stuff. Eventually, though, the match actually ends with Swerve getting caught by Matt Jackson and Matt rolling him up, getting the win for the bad guys, getting the win for the heels. I hate it, obviously, but dude, the match was just so much fun. Shit ending with it just being a quick roll-up. I don't like Matt getting a clean win over Swerve Strickland just for personal reasons. That being said, though, holy shit, man, just such a fun match. Probably match of the night, if you're going to be honest. And just everybody in that match worked their asses off, showed out. And I think now people are really seeing, too, this heel Ricochet is just golden. Like, this is exactly what Ricochet in AEW needed to be. It was a full reset. It was a full... hey, take everything you know about Ricochet from that other place, throw it out the window.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Because this man is going to show you why he's still such a fucking good wrestler, but character-wise, he can reinvent himself and make everything work so well to where you're like, he had this the whole time? Where the hell was this?
Yes, and Ricochet on another level, and you can tell... right now, again, not to steal a line from Will Ospreay, but you could tell the fans are booing more out of respect and admiration for what his character is and how much he's developed.
Oh, yeah.
Then they actually hate him. But again, I want to make sure it is noted that we got to just quit discriminating on bald people.
I was going to say, you were having a rough weekend with this.
Yeah, I was like, I gave a few people stares like, what the hell is going on here? I like, understand. We would all have big frozen cornrows if we could. But what you gonna do when genetics and aging runs wild on you, okay?
It could happen. It could happen, yeah. We then had a quick backstage promo where Will Ospreay was on mic, but then that's when MJF gets in and he, you know, talks about how he wants him to beat Hangman because he wants Ospreay to win MJF's world title so that way he can turn in an easy win. So he's like, well, why weren't you in the Owen yourself? Then he proceeded to be like, you know what? I'm going to show you that no one's on the level of the devil. And MJF was not going to get the last word. Ospreay pulls him in and says, you know what? I'm on a whole nother level. And again, those guys, some of the best of AEW facing off. You're seeing star power on star power so much with a lot of AEW storylines right now and just the guys facing off. It just shows you the level of strength that you have in this roster.
Yes, I think we're going to get MJF and Will sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be...
I hope he doesn't do it, but man, though, if you were going against what AEW usually does and going into more sports entertainment, MJF interrupts Will Ospreay and Hangman, right, and there's not a winner. And then technically, like, all three of them end up wrestling, you know, Moxley, which, hell no, don't want that to happen. I want my All In to be a one-on-one match. But
yes.
I'm just saying, if you were doing the sports entertainment style, I could see it going that way.
For sure. We then had a sit-down interview with Jamie Hayter ahead of her match against Mercedes Moné. And she said she wants to learn about the real Mercedes Moné. Not the hype, not the creature behind the hype, but the real Mercedes Moné. Because she felt insulted that they were similar people. Because she doesn't have Jamie's star power or resume. She does have integrity. She has grit, truth. And now a more of a reason for Jamie to hurt her. And she goes, it's not about glory. It's not about gold. It's about showing Moné that she's not untouchable. She's not the second coming. She said her back injury was fine and mentioned how Mercedes was looking past her. Says that's when Mercedes jumps Jamie Hayter. And then they start fighting out through the the theater seating.
Yes.
They go through there and go through the side stage and stuff like that. Love the usage of that, honestly. Like, they knew how unique this venue was and they were taking full advantage of it. I love the usage of the backstage segments with them doing it in like all that cool wooding background that the backstage area of Masonic has. And then them fighting through that area was so fucking awesome with the usage of the venue. And Jamie chases after Mercedes. She runs off at one point and she stands tall at the ramp, but that's when Mercedes comes back, gets her seconds, gets her get back and knocks her down, and then puts the statement maker on Jamie before she's eventually taken off by security and by referees. This was a nice little segment to add some heat to this.
Yeah, I was going to say, this was much needed.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was any heat on Mercedes.
No.
Hater until this happened. I thought it was excellent. It, you know, adds some personal to the stakes, which is at Double or Nothing. And Jamie Hayter has gotten the best of her every time she's attacked Mercedes.
Exactly. So, and Jamie needed a little bit of a reason to get some fire in this whole ordeal. I liked her sit-down interview, the way she was carrying herself. And then, like I said, the way they were fighting through the crowd and everything like that and fighting through the arena was awesome. So, yeah. Gives this feud a lot more of what it needs.
Correct.
We then get another backstage segment. Willow Nightingale was going to speak to Alicia Tout, but then frenemy, Chris Statlander comes up, and they get some words in, and then they were still clearly not exactly cool with one another, so they decide that they were going to meet one-on-one at Collision. This man right here wore a Willow shirt at Dynamite to show support. Even though she wasn't on the card, he wore that shirt a day early.
And they rewarded me with Willow the next day. And also wearing the Willow the first night, I wasn't stuck with the unenviable task of deciding between wearing an FTR shirt and a Willow shirt, because right. I had already wore the Willow shirt.
Exactly.
But yeah, I was very excited. I was like, because I knew I was staying Thursday. So I was like, yes, baby, I get a Willow match and an FTR match on the same damn show.
That's a loaded Collision for you. For
yes.
Sure. We then moved into the Continental Championship Eliminator match between Kazuchika Okada and Kevin Knight. Before Knight could make his entrance, he got bum-rushed by the horns of Roosh and beat the living hell out of him. And before the match even started, Speedball Mike Bailey comes out. He makes the save, and he chases off Roosh. Whole time, though, Okada's standing in the ring with this blank stare on his face. And then at one point, as Kevin Knight's trying to get to his feet, he puts a little sad face on, like, Fucking hell, I love Okada so
much. Kevin Knight found out the hard way. When you mess with the bull, you get the horns.
And he got the horns for sure. But Kevin Knight still goes on, and he wrestles the match. Solid. I thought it was pretty damn solid.
I thought it went too long.
It was a bit
for long, him getting the shit beat out.
Yeah, it would have been a little bit quicker considering he got jumped early on. Yeah.
We do believe in Kevin. We are a pro Kevin Knight show.
Yes.
But with the added thing that he had gotten his ass beat, I was thinking, I'm not saying Rainmaker 1-2-3, but have a couple hope spots. He is a Rainmaker and we get home instead of all those minutes of him not really going all the way and playing the injury. It's very weird. There is a good place. There's a happy medium for what they were trying to do. I can't tell you where it's at.
Right, exactly. But regardless, Okada still gets the win in the match. Kevin Knight did a really good job in this. But yeah, like you said, with the idea of him being jumped, it seems a little weird that he still was able to go like a full like 10 minutes with this. So, but it was still a solid enough match. A couple quick backstage segments, setting up stuff for Collision. Then, of course, another segment with the Hurt Syndicate and their special legal counsel that they got for what's going to happen next week with MJF trying to join the Hurt Syndicate, looking for those three thumbs up. And then we move right into the main event of the show, Samoa Joe versus Claudio Castagnoli. This was just classic. Like, you would have seen this match in Ring of Honor. You would have seen this match in the other company at one point. These two guys, elder statement of wrestling at this point.
Yes.
And they are so good at what they do and had a really nice, physical, fun match. I especially love Joe with the slam on the outside on the floor. It was great. Him trying to find that muscle buster was really strong. But some really, really nice work from all those guys involved. But as he's looking to try to choke out Claudio, Death Riders start coming in, and he gets the victory by choking out Claudio Castagnoli with that choke. Death Riders then come to make their entrance, but he sees it coming, and he has backup. Powerhouse Hobbs runs in the ring, steel chair in hand, chasing him out, and Yuta and John Moxley and Marina Shafir, they're all kept at bay, and they still got Claudio in the ring, and they're like, okay, you want to see what's going to happen to you? And steel chair to the back of Claudio, and then he drops Claudio chest first, stomach first, onto the chair. A little bit of message of what happened to Hook weeks prior as they took their ops member out. So great little moment right there to tease that match for next week with the steel cage match that's going to be happening. And that closed out a very solid go-home Dynamite for Beach Break, which I feel like was amplified tremendously by the Detroit crowd. I feel like if this show was anywhere else in any other venue, it would have felt like just an all right Dynamite. But I feel like this crowd especially just amplified it so much more because it went from being a solid Dynamite to, I think, a really good Dynamite.
Dude, I will tell everybody, if we're going live experience and I give my rating and you're watching at home and your rating is much lower, it would make sense.
Yeah.
Because the energy of this crowd carried it. The live experience, like I said, I hope the sound came across on TV. If it did not, I am sorry it didn't. But that crowd was on fire. Every match was good. And, you know, the Samoa Joe was a perfect ending. And then we got, you know, they took out Claudio, and it was just an amazing Dynamite.
Yeah, it was just a lot of fun. Set up stuff for Chicago next week. Has everyone really excited for Beach Break. And it's just looking like it's going to be a really, really strong show. We then moved directly into Collision, which we just got back from. And the show opened with a little bit of theater from the one and only Timeless Toni Storm, who makes an appearance on the side. She shows up from the box seats in the Masonic Temple. And she talks about her time, her first time not sexual, get your minds out of the gutter. Her first time as AEW World Champion because she's been having the time of her life, pushing her body past the limits and just, you know, going through a lot of sweat. And with one people, two people, three people, four people, it doesn't matter. And she's going to continue to show these slop tarts what's what. And she'll see even more women because she's going to have another eliminator match for her world title next week, which was set up. And she's going to remain timeless. And she slowly lowers herself from the box seating, which was such a hilarious view. I mean, you're in a theater. You're in a great little venue to play this timeless character. I love that they used the box seating to their advantage with that.
Yeah.
And it was just a fun way to open up the show, honestly.
Yeah, super fun way to open up the show. Got the crowd hot. The most non-sexual sexual innuendos I've ever heard in like a few minutes.
Yeah.
Like that was a lot. I thought, you know, that was good shit. Got everybody's attention. I am making a bold prediction because while we were here, we heard that Thekla had signed with AEW.
We did, yeah. Apparently,
I think she's
a spider in the ring or whatever.
Yeah. I think she's going to end up being the next Eliminator Challenge.
I would not be surprised if that was the case. Yeah.
Yeah. In Chicago.
You got to
do it, baby. Move Chicago. I was like, man, if I knew the show was going to be this big, I would be going to that show too.
Right.
Yeah. But they really. It's really giving Dynamite 1.5 vibes.
Right. Or like, you know, the original Grand Slams when they used to be on TV.
Yes.
So yeah. We then had a backstage segment about the Paragon because they acknowledged they were disappointed with their 2 out of 3 falls match against FTR from last week.
Yeah, they got a pair of L's.
They did. They got 2 L's in that match.
Fair.
But they said they're still one of the best tag teams to ever do it, and they're ready to climb back to the top. But they got interrupted by the Grizzled Young Vets.
Oh, my God.
Called them soft. Just called them. They said they've gotten soft. You want to be reminded of what it's like to fight? We're more than happy to be able to do that dance with you. And they straight up say, you know what? All right. And just like setting up Paragon versus Grizzled Young Vets looking.
So. This is amazing because we have seen this resurgence of tag team division and tag team based storylines. Grizzly Young Veterans had that little thing with FTR and then kind of just went away.
Yep.
So now you're bringing them back. Maybe they're like on a per appearance deal. I don't know I don't know what they're doing. But Grizzly Young Vets versus Paragon. Go back and check Grizzly Young Vets versus Undisputed Era back in the day on NXT UK. These are going to be fire matches.
They are going to be bangers.
Yes. Yeah, they're going to be great matches.
Yeah. We then had Ricochet once again back. He had a singles match against Angelico, which I think you mentioned. You couldn't believe he was still working.
And working for AEW. I don't know all of Angelico's jobs. I don't work for AEW. I'm just a fan. I don't watch a lot of ROH, so I literally hadn't seen him on the quote-unquote main roster of AEW in, like, a long time. So it was cool to see him. Happy birthday, Angelico. Apparently, there was a shit ton of birthdays this week.
I guess so.
Happy birthday, Angelico, because it was, like, I think his birthday was yesterday, but he got to be on Collision today, so that worked out for him.
Yeah, so solid enough match, I thought. Had some fun moments of them using his bald head again, and Angelico really did a good job playing into that. It was fun, solid enough, but then Ricochet proceeds to get on mic, and he's talking shit, talking about all these people that he's beaten. He decided to make the worst mistake of his entire life and put the name of my Detroit Lions in his mouth, with him being an Eagles fan. No goddamn reason for you to be saying that, dude, because I was with you on the Jericho Cruise after the Lions got bounced in the first round, and you said you were scared of the Lions. You said that to me. I have proof of that you said that to me on the Jericho Cruise, and then you come into my city and you speak shit, and then my city showed exactly what it was about with the Jared Goff chants in the venue. And this man right here was like, I'm just going to keep to myself a little bit.
I have no dog in this fight.
Yep. Because he was on the side.
I can't say shit to the Eagles. They did what they did. The Lions, we got to get some get back against them. But, you know, still, they're still up 1-0. So I ain't have nothing to say.
Yep. So I love the Jared Goff chants, dude. I hope they got through on TV because they were so fucking good. But he talks about all these legends and all these people that he's already knocked off. And then he sees another legend ringside. The one and only Michigan's own Zach Gowen in attendance. He talks about how, man, I was a fan of watching growing up and watching you. In fact, I loved seeing you getting the shit rocked out of you by The Rock. And, you know, talked about how, you know, hey, goes to Gowen's kids and goes, your dad's on used to be on this side of the railing. Now he's on that side. And you know what? Security then proceeds to be like, you know, hey, we're just talking. We're just talking. And then he starts beating up security, trying to threaten and imposter against Zach Gowen. And then he's like, you know what? No, I ain't done yet. So then he proceeds to get in the ring and he's looking like he's going to cut the hair of one of the security guards. And that's when Zach Gowen has enough and proceeds to jump into the ring and tries to take the scissors away from him. But as he has them, Ricochet then proceeds to knock him down, kick him in the leg, and then hit the stun gun on him, or hit the spirit gun on him, I should say. And that's when he does the most dastardly thing he's done in his run as heel in AEW. He stole Zach Gowen's leg.
You know what? That was dastardly. He should have beat him with it, but stealing his leg was terrible enough. I was like, are we about to get in 2025, the year of our Lord, Ricochet versus Zach Gowen? And you know what the answer is? C.
Yes.
We are getting Ricochet versus Zach Gowen in Chicago.
I was absolutely stunned that they made that a match.
Dude. So they had interviewed Zach Gowen before the show, and he was really putting AEW over. So my spidey sense started tingling a little bit. I was like, he's like, this is where the best wrestle. This is this. I'm like, I mean, you're really putting AEW over for a company you don't, you know, work for.
Yeah.
Yeah. That dude was angling. He was angling for a job.
And that's exactly what happened. So, and Ricochet fucking using the leg to walk out of.
Yes, he put his knee on the leg. Oh, that was so disrespectful.
Oh, my God, dude. I couldn't believe it. Stopped filming it because I was like, there's no goddamn way he's going to take the leg from him. I was like, there's no goddamn way. I stopped filming that, and then he does it. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
His new name is Hill O'Shea because he he has the shit down.
Dude, so good. So that's going to be insane seeing Gowen versus Ricochet. That's going to be nuts. We then move directly into the All-Star 8-Man Tag where we had the Don Callis family where it's Kyle Fletcher, Rocky Romero, Trent Beretta, and Lance Archer going up against AR Fox, Bandido, and the Outrunners.
I felt like the message of this match was get AR Fox's shit in.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He felt like he was definitely the star of this 8-man tag. He needs to be on TV every week. The way he puts his moves and the way he moves so smoothly and hits all his moves.
Yeah.
That dude is AEW through and through.
He wrestled his ass off.
And you feel
like, too, with the fact that Trent was the one that ended up getting the win with their combination move that Trent and Rocky Romero did on AR Fox. It looked like they were setting up for the fact that like their AR Fox is going to want to get back against Trent specifically. But yeah, he especially in this match was just on fire. It was absolutely awesome to see. And yeah, it was really fun. I thought it was a good fun match. And AR Fox was the all-star of the match for sure.
Absolutely.
It was a Jon Moxley video package back afterwards talking about his match that he's going to have in the steel cage with Samoa Joe, basically being like there's nowhere else he'd rather be than a steel cage with the baddest man on the planet, and talking about like I've been through hell and I've been through worse and I ain't going to be scared going through against you, and all that matters is who's the last man standing after that. And afterwards, we had Anthony Bowens, the 5-tool player, go up against Big Shoddy Lee Johnson.
So hilarious that I heard at least 3 people in the crowd trying to decide what a 5-tool player was. Even though when he cut the promo, he literally told you what the 5 tools were.
Yes.
But yes, people were still confused. They're not the baseball's not the thing that it used to be. But
We haven't seen a 5-tool player in quite some time.
Yes, because the scissor, the V of the scissor now stands for 5.
Yes.
Roman numeral 5. And yeah, this was pretty much a squash match, right?
Yeah, relatively so. I think it was handled pretty quickly. Blake Christian was in at one point and trying to get involved. He eventually, though, got knocked down by Mr. Daddy Ass and got told to suck it, which was awesome. And Bones cut a nice little promo for the crowd. They did the little scissor me daddy ass just as a little like, yeah, like you, I'm feeling generous at this point in time. And then after, I believe the show was off the air at this point, but Mr. Daddy Ass himself, Billy Gunn, wanted to get a little, if you ain't down with that, we got two words for you, which was awesome to see and just be in the crowd for it. And it's like, that's all I wanted to say. And then they went to the back.
Reminder from my good friend, Anthony Bowens, who has scissored me on national TV. You need a new finisher.
Yeah.
It works on Lee Johnson. It would have worked on Blake Christian. It whatever. But I'm thinking your ultimate goal is to be a main eventer in the company. Do you think Molly Whopping is a justifiable finisher to beat Will Ospreay, Swerve Strickland, Jay White? Just keep going through that list. And the answer is no. So you need a better move. And that's just, again, my fan talking about entertaining. I'm just saying you're in the main event of Double or Nothing and you turn around and hit a roaring elbow and that's how you win. I think you get booed out of the building.
It would be something that we've seen some moves be able to be turned into finishers, but that's one that might be tough for
fans. Like if somebody, and I even say this, like somebody like Will Hobbs was doing it. Oh yeah. Cause that dude's like this.
Oh, but sure.
It's just like, yeah, I just think, you know, I'm not a strike guy, but this has nothing to do with it. What I think is when you do a move, try to imagine the best wrestler in your company taking it and try to decide if it's justifiable that you beat them with that move. I just think the Molly Whop is a mid-card finisher.
Yeah, unfortunately. I feel like if you give him something like a little bit better than that, like maybe a high, like maybe some sort of like, springboard or top rope move, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like you add another element like that, you can maybe get away with it, I think.
Yeah, because my big thing is this. I wouldn't offer these suggestions if I wasn't rooting for Anthony Bowens.
Oh, God.
I want Anthony Bowens to be like the most overplaying person on the planet. So I'm saying as a fan, what I see, that ain't the move.
Yeah, no.
Great setup move to whatever you eventually end up doing. I mean, shit. It seems like it's right there. Hit the roaring elbow, pick him up, hit the famouser. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
It seems like
the movie. If you're still going to have Billy Gunn
out there,
might as well just use the famouser as your finish.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Gates of Agony then came out afterwards and was just like calling out the Learning Tree, called out Big Bill and Brian Keith, and they just brawled.
Yeah.
They beat the shit out of each other.
And this is one of those things that we were screaming months ago, and now we're getting it, and I'm happy. So it's not I told you so. But this is stuff AEW could have been doing every week for months instead of like 20-minute promo packages or whatever. Hey, these two guys, they both need to reestablish themselves in the tag team division to get a title shot. So they're fighting each other.
Yep. And
oh, my God.
Knocking each other off the stage. I think there were tables down there. I couldn't see them, but I'm pretty sure there were tables down there.
And this is the purpose of it. I think the Gates of Agony, Big Bill, and Brian Keith are all more over because of this fight.
Yeah, just this one fight helps them immediately just grab the attention of everybody. And you want to see them in an actual like match where you can see who comes out on top with it. Because people were cheering for them to keep fighting, basically. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. It was a nice little break segment there, but it was also really exciting, which moves into our probably most anticipated match of the show, which was by far Chris Statlander versus Willow Nightingale.
Dude, this match was excellent, and it's almost – they waited long enough so you could – till a certain point of the fan base could forget how good they were.
Yeah.
And then Detroit again came through. Yes. They gave them the match for it. I'm not taking anything away from Willow and Chris. They gave a banger match, but then they got a banger reaction. Oh, and man. I got to tell you, in my humble opinion, and just based on my ears, the top two over females in AEW, one Toni Storm, to Willow Nightingale.
No, it's not even close. I mean, Harley, I think, can get there at some point, I think, because, again, like, people love her character and stuff like that. I just don't know if people are sold on her as a wrestler yet. I think she's going to get there, truly. I do. But, man.
They bought every fall
every figure. Goddamn thing about Willow Nightingale works so well, and everyone loves it.
You've seen grown men do the hop. And then do the fist pump. I mean, they're doing they're pantomiming her whole entrance because they love her so much.
Yeah.
And this was great. And yes, oh my God, her and Marina Shafir are still fighting.
Oh my God.
So yeah, Marina, that was a great thing. I was just like,
her coming out there, man, I felt like it was just finally like, hey, are we actually going to get you in the ring? Because, I mean, she's been jumping Willow Nightingale for weeks, months. She's been jumping her. And she does it again, costs Willow the match itself, and Chris Statlander gets the win. And I'm like, are we finally going to make this shit happen? Is Marina Shafir finally going to wrestle a match under the Death Riders, and is she going to go up against Willow Nightingale? Because God damn it, man. I mean, like, the amount of time we've been waiting on this girl to actually get in the ring and wrestle, man, it's been months. So just the fact that we're going to get closer to that actually happening has me hyped. But the match itself, physical, I thought both girls did such great stuff. The pop when she hit the pounce was amazing. And yeah, dude, I mean, Stat was using her strength. Willow was showing off her abilities. Like, dude, everyone was into everything here in this match. And I was in attendance for that street fight they had in Chicago at All Out, which was amazing. Probably one of my favorite matches of that show. And these two once again delivered in a great way. And again, the crowd hyped them out to infinity for that as well. So it was awesome to see.
I'm just throwing this out here for future reference. So you can say Floyd might have said something about it. Shayna Baszler, Marina Shafir versus Willow, Chris Statlander, street fight. Let's fucking go.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, that would be
just easy. It's easy.
It is.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Because I do think Marina is going to excel more in the street fight type matches instead of the wrestling matches.
I agree. Yeah. It's just a matter of actually getting her in the ring and working, because she's just been the female part of the Death Riders for this whole time and just been their muscle, but more so for like other stuff. So, but yeah, so I'm just hyped that we might finally be getting that though. We had a quick little squash match with Konosuke Takeshita and Josh Alexander of the Don Callis family against Dark Order, Alex Reynolds and Evil Uno were in attendance.
Shout out to Uno. Uno was super over. People must obviously love his video game show.
Yep, he got his podcast with Chugs.
I actually felt a little bad for Reynolds because everybody was just literally, they weren't saying Dark Order. They were saying Uno.
People love Uno.
Yes.
Uno so much. So quick little squash match for the Don Callis family, giving them some hype as they were getting ready for their stuff next week. As they send a message to Will Ospreay and Hangman Adam Page. And then we get a match real quick between Speedball Mike Bailey back again, going up against Dralistico. Good match.
Good match. Dralistico, and they both have the timing down.
Yep.
That last kick that's like 360 roundhouse. I don't know what kicks are called.
Yeah, that's just
but he landed kick, it and it knocked him out. I was like, this is fucking awesome.
Oh, dude. I mean, like, and they were trading blows against each other. The chops in this match especially were just vicious from Dralistico, it felt like. I love so much. The knee drop he did on the apron, too, was fucking vicious. Great stuff. Speedball Mike Bailey gets a nice win, and that's when Roosh comes down, and the crowd's chanting along with the Roosh to his song, and you tease it off with Speedball Mike Bailey and Roosh, which should be a fucking fun-ass match.
Absolutely.
Yep. And then we go ahead, and we get the main event of the show. It was Daniel Garcia going up against one of the members of FTR, and it was determined it was going to be Dax Harwood in this match. And boy, Floyd returned back to his roots.
Oh my God, it felt so good to be home, baby. The whole crowd, everybody's cheering for Daniel Garcia. I'm cheering for Dax. They're looking at me funny. And I was like, Daniel Garcia is getting everything that he deserves. It's great. Cash sees me, points me out in the crowd. Yep. Dax is going at everybody.
There were some guys near us who we literally being like, get in the ring. What you going to do about it?
Yes, it was super fun. Because FTR, this is their natural state. Mm-hmm. I've said that before. I'm not saying they weren't excellent, good guys. They are on another level, legendary Hall of Fame bad guys. And I love it. And there was this moment where they ended up fighting out in their crowd and then fought in our section.
Yes.
They fought in our section, like right directly behind us.
Dax got busted open pretty early in this match, too, as he got thrown into the railing like three times by Danny.
Yeah, well, he got the hard way. And there was this moment where he's like yelling at Nigel and he's telling him to hit him. And then Nigel just puts his head back, set back on, and sits down. Okay. He does that when Dax is face to face with him. Soon as Dax leaves,
gives him a good shove too for a good match.
Yeah. As soon as Dax leaves, now all of a sudden, fucking Nigel McGuinness grows a set. And then he goes in and unjustifiably attacks Dax because when he had him face to face, he didn't have that. So he unjustifiably attacks FTR. I don't like it. Even after Cash did a special tribute to him and gave Daniel Garcia Tower of London, it was like heart. That's your hand.
That's peace kind of respect.
He was trying to keep the peace with Nigel, and then Nigel turned his back on Dax, and I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
Because I know they can cripple Nigel McGuinness anytime they want to. And they've been holding back, trying to be nice. They didn't drop Tony's Schiavone on his head. They've been trying to be nice. And then Nigel rewards their niceness by sneak attack.
They apologized a week ago.
They have apologized twice. And then Tony and Nigel keep coming with their very biased commentary. And FTR finally had enough of it. You know what? Big Stoat's going to handle this all in the office.
Yeah.
We're going to get Nigel McGuinness suspended probably for at least a week.
And what the fuck is Daddy Magic doing around here?
Dude.
He should just be selling merch.
Apparently, he didn't bleed enough the first time they fought FDR. So he's like, oh, God, I need to bleed again. Maybe he's looking for a little time off so he can spend it with his family. I got a great way to get it.
Hey,
Spike Pile Driver.
That's all you need. That's all you need. But so they run off. Kate and Dax and Cash, the match got thrown out completely because of all the interference and everything like that. But Daddy Magic is standing with Daniel Garcia and Nigel McGuinness as we have Big Stoke and FTR just moving up the ramp, looking like we might be setting up some sort of trios match.
Yes. The ref, his non-counting ass, Bryce, is like, dude, he just let so much go.
And then eventually it's like, now we're going to throw it out.
Yeah, and he threw the match out. It was clearly Daniel Garcia should have been DQ'd with Dax being the winner. Hopefully Big Stoke handles that. But that was an excellent match to end the show. Daniel Garcia barely held, he almost just tapped out in the middle of the ring because he was just tired of getting chopped by Dax. And Dax wasn't even putting his all into it, but it's okay. It's okay. Well, it was a very fun match. I've always been a fan of DG. He had gotten co-signed by FTR. They have now taken that co-sign back.
Yep.
So, he can do his little dances with Daddy Magic and all that stuff, but it's all going to end the way we think it's going to end, with a beatdown.
Damn straight. And that was Dynamite and Collision from the Masonic Temple in Detroit.
It is very late here. Yes. So
we're going to wrap up pretty much right about now. I will say before we close everything out, though, just like we showed you around a few of the sites and stuff like that in Detroit. What were some of the takeaways you had just from walking around the city?
It's a beautiful city. It really is. You can see Canada over the water. Lots of great buildings, lots of great infrastructure. Now, I can say this. I saw it on Wednesday and Thursday. I did not see the weekend. Maybe a few more people, come down.
Sure, sure.
But I had an excellent time. I literally, if I had the power and I didn't buy that a basic economy flight, I would have probably moved my flight out to later today so I could later in the day so I can hang out. But right now, I'm leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning in Eastern time because I'm a fucking idiot that makes flights stupid early. But no, I really enjoyed it. I had time, great time seeing your mom, seeing Sydney's boss from work.
Every good food too.
Yeah, it's like it's just weird again. And I'm not going to go on this tangent again, but how much wrestling, as far as me and my fandom, has done for me. Mm-hmm. I know wrestling fandom gets a ton of negativity, like fans ruin everything. But fans have an enhanced wrestling in every way for me. Like I'm going to a crowd in Detroit, nowhere near my home. And I know all these people in the crowd, and just enough to at least say hi to them. They're not my best friends, but at least to say hi, good to see you. I'm in your city once. That means about as much to me as anything that I do as far as a fandom in wrestling, and getting to hang with you and Sydney in your city after two unsuccessful attempts by me to get here.
Yep.
It has been, it has been amazing. And it's like I'm kicking myself for not getting into Detroit sooner.
Bro, I mean, like I said, we're so glad we got you even for a short period of time. We're definitely going to try to make this happen again. Like I said, if we get that pay-per-view,
I'll be
you. I'm going to get you, and I'm going to get Jared, and everyone's coming down here. And we're all going to like turn into a whole weekend shit. And we're going to do a whole thing, and we're going to do a whole bunch of shit. We'll go to some games or something, because it'll be fire as shit. But
dude,
man, I can't tell you how cool it is that we finally made this happen, and it's been a blast. And I think that's where we're going to close it off, because you got yourself an early-ass flight. I got work the next day, too. So we got a lot that we got on our plates right now. So we're going to wrap it up, guys, here from Detroit. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of All Things Elite. And thank you guys so much for following us all this time, showing us the support. We really do appreciate it. We're just two fans of wrestling and doing what we love to do. If you enjoy the show, turn automatic downloads on and download this show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at AT Elite Pod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. I'm going to let this man close this out. I'm going to let him go to my room, and then he's going to get some sleep. You can take us home on this episode of All Things
Elite. I am fucking exhausted. I do not have anything profound to say. Love your family. Love your friends. And whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.